You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, May 9, 2023. Synchronicity, Part 2. Canadian heavy oil prices increasingly linked to global oil market developments. Published by Martin King. Since the start of this year, Canadian heavy crude oil prices have been steadily improving relative to the light crude oil benchmark of West Texas Intermediate, or WTI. Improved access to and through the U.S. as far south as the Gulf Coast has contributed to these better conditions. At the same time, the traditional driver of increasing refinery demand after the end of the most recent maintenance season is being aided by the restart of two Midwest refineries that have typically been consumers of Canadian heavy oil. With international competitive pressures also easing and export buyers remaining active in the Gulf Coast, heavy oil prices could remain in a sweet spot for a good portion of this year. In today's RBN blog, we look at why international competition for Canadian heavy crude will only intensify next year as vastly increased export access from Canada's West Coast becomes available. Western Canada's heavy crude oil and its pricing seem to be in a good place these days. Unfettered by infrastructure constraints such as insufficient pipeline export capacity, Canadian heavy crude oil has been flowing without a hitch to where it is needed most. The price discount applied to Western Canadian Select, or WCS, the heavy oil price benchmark in Western Canada, has been narrowing against important trading hubs in the North American oil trading complex such as Cushing, Oklahoma, and the Gulf Coast, increasingly reflecting a price difference that is based only on quality and pipeline transportation costs. To top things off, it appears that exports of Canadian heavy crude from the Gulf Coast have rebounded in recent months and may be contributing to the narrowing of the price discount applied to WCS. What once seemed impossible, a Canadian crude whose price may be more closely linked to international oil market developments, may finally be with us to stay. In part one of this series, we reviewed many of the strange events that have disrupted the price of Canadian heavy oil in the past few years. The extraordinary blowout of the price differential between WCS at the Western Canadian trading hub of Hardisty, Alberta, to WTI to near $50 per barrel late in 2018 was the result of rising production running up against insufficient pipeline export capacity. A solution, if you can call it that, involved the provincial government of Alberta, home to the vast majority of Canada's heavy oil production, ordering a reduction in output to better align supplies with pipeline capacity, a move that promptly reduced the immense pricing differential closer to historical averages. That was followed by the price wreckage and sharp widening of the discount brought about by COVID in 2020. Once the global market started to recover over the course of late 2020 and 2021, Canadian heavy oil finally caught a break in October 2021 with the addition of 370,000 barrels per day of incremental pipeline export capacity on Enbridge's main line to the Midwest thanks to the completion of the Line 3 replacement project. That was quickly followed by another widening of the price discount late in 2021 as a result of refinery upsets in the Midwest dampening demand for Canadian heavy oil at a time of rising production in Alberta. That widening began to reverse as refinery activity picked up in 2022, but international events that year began to exert a never-before-seen influence over the WCS price discount. In the spring of 2022, large releases of medium sour crude oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR, in response to the international crisis arising from Russia's invasion of Ukraine generated immense competitive pressure on WCS in U.S. and international markets. After layering in heavy discounting of Russian Urals medium sour crude in a desperate attempt to keep that crude stream flowing from Russian ports, the end result was another gradual and widening price discounting episode for WCS, eventually reaching a peak, or rather a bottom, in late 2022 near $30 per barrel as a result of a refinery outage in the Midwest. Since that low point, the WCS price discount, WCS Hardisty WTI, has reversed course and been on a steadily narrowing track since the start of this year. Before leaving our review of Part 1, we also introduced two additional WCS price discount series, one for the discount at Cushing, WCS Cushing WTI, and the other for the discount at the Gulf Coast, WCS USGC WTI. We introduced this data, courtesy of our friends at Linked Data Services, or LDS, not only to highlight what has been an increasing degree of price synchronicity, our blog series title, among WCS at Hardisty, Cushing and the Gulf Coast over the past year or so, but also to highlight that the WCS Hardisty WTI price discount did not see a major blowout when TC Energy's Keystone Pipeline suffered a line break in late November 2022. The line break caused a reduction of Canadian heavy crude supplies into Cushing and the Gulf Coast and triggered a narrower price discount, i.e., higher value for WCS at those two pricing locations. Importantly, it did not trigger a blowout in the WCS Hardesty WTI price spread, which has happened all too often in the past when line breaks or refinery outages occurred. The physical flow of crude was able to work its way around the outage by utilizing a spur line on the Keystone system to other oil storage locations in Illinois. It might have been just the luck of the draw in terms of where the line break occurred, but the incident was perhaps the first time that a downstream infrastructure issue did not immediately and materially blow out the WCS Hardesty price discount, as there was no serious backup of exported oil supplies in Alberta. With the pipeline long since repaired and the discount steadily narrowing, WCS pricing appears to be in something of a sweet spot, as we mentioned at the outset. A variety of factors, both domestic and international, appear to be providing plenty of lift for Canadian heavy oil prices since the start of the year. As is often the case, they are numerous, starting with domestic, i.e., North American, factors. Number 1. President Biden's directive for the sale of crude oil from the SBR concluded at the end of December 2022 and removed a major competitive factor for WCS prices. A much smaller congressionally mandated sale from the SPR recently began. Withdrawals have been about 2 million barrels each week, according to the most recent crude oil gusher report, but its price impact has been little noticed so far. Number 2. Apportionment on Enbridge's main line has been minimal to zero since late 2021 when the Line 3 replacement came into service, with the most recent heavy oil apportionment set at zero for May 2023 after a similar figure in April. Number 3. Maintenance turnarounds in Alberta's oil sands in April, with more in May, have reduced the supply of heavy oil to the market. Number 4. Oil inventories in key areas such as Alberta, Cushing, and Wood River/Patoka, in Illinois, remain well below operational maximums. Number 5. TC Energy completed in March its Port Neches pipeline link from the terminus of its Keystone pipeline in Nederland, Texas, to the nearby Motiva terminal in Port Neches, allowing for greater connectivity of Canadian heavy oil to reach additional pipelines around Motiva, the Motiva refinery, and the P66 Beaumont terminal, on the pipeline's path between Nederland and Port Neches. Number 6. Pemex is continuing the slow ramp-up of its 340,000 barrels per day Olmeca refinery near the port of Dos Bocas, which will run on Mexico's domestic heavy oil supplies. With little prospect of Mexico expanding its own heavy oil production in the near future, the end result will be less Mexican heavy oil making its way to the Gulf Coast to compete with Canadian heavy barrels. Number 7. The latest refining maintenance season is winding down, increasing demand for crude. Also note that the cheap price of natural gas this spring has reduced the costs of treating heavy oil in refinery cokers. Aside from the winding down of maintenance season, a series of positive refinery developments have also emerged. Number 1. ExxonMobil on March 16 announced the startup of its Beaumont, Texas, refinery expansion, adding a sizable 250,000 barrels per day of capacity. At least two other smaller capacity expansions in the Gulf Coast are scheduled for later this year and in 2024, partly offset by one closure at the end of 2023. According to data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, or EIA, the Beaumont refinery consumed 25,000 barrels per day of Canadian heavy oil from January 2022 to February 2023. The expansion could add demand for Canadian barrels. Number 2. Cenovus has restarted its Toledo, Ohio, refinery after it shut down last year due to a fire. It was consuming 61,000 barrels per day of Canadian heavy crude earlier in 2022, according to EIA data. Number 3. Cenovus has also begun a phased restart of its Superior, Wisconsin, refinery following a five-year rebuild from an explosion in April 2018. In the early months of that year, the refinery was importing 19,000 barrels per day of Canadian heavy, based on EIA data. In terms of international factors playing a role in WCS pricing, the market appears to have mostly adjusted to the discounting of Russian Urals, with major buyer India now scooping up a large portion of this crude stream, easing off the direct competitive pressures on WCS. This resulted in India falling away as a buyer of exported Canadian heavy crude oil from the Gulf Coast for a couple of months this year, but it appears to have returned as a significantly large buyer in March. Overall, export demand for Canadian heavy oil barrels has been on an uptrend in recent months, topped off in March by a record spike to 315,000 barrels per day driven primarily by Chinese and Indian buyers. Anecdotal press reports suggest some of this export strength has carried through to April as strong demand from Chinese buyers has continued to lead to strong bids for Canadian heavy oil barrels. Indian buyers may also be playing a role, though perhaps not as large as in March. All of these factors have helped to keep WCS price differentials on a narrowing trend this year and perhaps hold them near this range for a number of months, assuming that export and refining demand remains strong. There is also no doubt that another refinery outage somewhere along the supply chain that links Western Canadian heavy oil to the Gulf Coast, another unfortunate line break, or a sharp change in oil production trends in the oil sands might cause another short-term deviation in the relationship between the three WCS price markers. Nevertheless, market forces seem to be bringing all three price discount markers back into sync more quickly than in the past and keeping Canadian heavy oil barrels more in line with pricing developments in the Gulf Coast and international markets. In reviewing our pricing discussion in Part 1 and introducing additional data and more recent market developments in today's blog, our goal has been to move thinking toward the view that the bad old days of Canadian producers suffering under the weight of heavily discounted WCS prices at Hardisty and a Western Canadian oil market that seemed to be all too often disconnected from the rest of North America and the world has become a thing of the past. In other words, a focus on the WCS Hardisty WTI price differential no longer fully captures the dynamics of what is happening with Canadian heavy oil. Rather, it is much further downstream, beyond the Midwest and into the Gulf Coast, as measured by the WCS USGS WTI price differential, that now more succinctly captures the buyer of the last barrel of Canadian heavy oil, be that buyer a Gulf Coast refiner or exporter, at least for now. What might add some spice to the WCS pricing equation and change the view is the 2024 startup of the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, which will add 590,000 barrels per day of pipeline capacity from Alberta to Canada's west coast and could result in a sharp reduction in the availability of Canadian heavy barrels on the Gulf Coast for export. This will only serve to enhance the international exposure for WCS price-linked barrels as two coastlines, rather than just one, may have a tug-of-war over which proves to be the last buyer. Before you know it, we might be discussing the price spread between WCS Hardisty and Dubai, a medium sour crude price marker for oil cargoes into Asia. Wouldn't that be a change? Synchronicity I and Synchronicity II were written by Sting Gordon Sumner, and appear as the first and sixth song on side one of the Police's fifth studio album Synchronicity. Synchronicity I was released as a single only in Japan, while Synchronicity II was released as a single in the US and the UK in October 1983. It went to number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. According to Sting, the synchronicity lyrical theme in both songs refers to Carl Jung's theory on the subject. With lyrics referring to the din of Rice Krispies and the slime of a dark Scottish lake, one has to ponder if the reference is to Jungian theory or Aleister Crowley eating breakfast at Boleskine House. Both songs feature a heavy use of synthesizers. Personnel on the record were Sting, vocals, bass, Andy Summers, guitar, keyboards, and Stuart Copeland drums, percussion. The album Synchronicity was the final studio album from The Police. Recorded between December 1982 and February 1983 at Air in Montserrat and the studio in Quebec, the album was released in June 1983. Produced by The Police and Hugh Padgham, it went to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 8X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Five singles were released from the LP. The Police were an English rock band formed in London in 1977. The popular lineup of the band featured Sting, Andy Summers, and Stuart Copeland. Four people have passed through the band since its inception. Emerging from the late 70s British new wave scene, the band played a blend of punk/pop, reggae, and soft jazz. They released five studio albums, three live albums, four soundtrack albums, seven compilation albums, one EP, and 26 singles. They have sold more than 75 million records worldwide. They have won 5 Grammy Awards and were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2003. The band broke up in 1986 but have reunited a few times for select shows and appearances. All three band members have gone on to success in solo ventures. As a solo artist, Sting has released 15 studio albums, 5 live albums, 10 compilation albums, 5 EPs, and 51 singles. He has sold more than 25 million records worldwide. He has received a CBE from Queen Elizabeth II, was awarded a Polar Music Prize, a Kennedy Center Honor, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and is a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.